Zone presents Big Orange Sunday. A look at all things Vols athletics. Presented by Delta Dental. Visit DeltaDentalTN.com. Now your host, former UT coach Doug Matthews. On 104.5 The Zone.
Well, good morning. Welcome into Big Orange Sunday. We are, of course, as always, brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. You know, I started making the outline for this show yesterday after the Saturday morning show that I do, well before the bowl game. And regardless of the outcome, today was going to be about three things. Number one, talking about yesterday's game, yes, but did we improve as a team? Number two, if so, where did we improve and who improved? And number three, what does the future look like? Where do we go from here? We're halfway through the season right now. We have an open date, and then we have a trip over to Fayetteville to face the Hogs. Now, here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to talk to you just like I talk with my Tennessee buddies, just like I talk with my coaching colleagues, John Chavis and others, my sons, my wife, my grandchildren. This is what I see about this program and team, and this is what I believe, and this is what past and current experiences have taught me to know. The second half of this season is going to be the indicator of where this program is right now. I believe very strongly that this program is getting better. Don't laugh. I think it's much better than it appears. I think it's much better than this team is playing right now. I'm not sure exactly why we're playing like we are right now, but I'm keeping my eye on the bullseye on where we are as a program. We are better as players. We have better players, and we need to continue to get better players. We have, in many instances, better coaching, but we need to get better. So that's how we'll approach the show today. Lots of things to talk about, but again, eye on the bullseye. Where's this program right now and where are we going? As I mentioned, the second half of the season is going to be the indicator of where this program is right now. Yesterday, was it a disappointment to me? No. Last week was a huge disappointment, the Kentucky ball game, but I expected what I watched yesterday. Let me start with this. Let's talk a little bit Alabama offensive statistics. Work with me on this as we go through it. Alabama offensive statistics. I want you to listen to this, and then I've got a question for you afterwards. First and 10s, Alabama had 33. 33 first and 10s, that's a bunch. Rushing yards, 147. Pretty strong rushing day. Passing yards, 417. That's a big day throwing the football. Offensive points, 41. Offensive points we're talking about now. Total offense, 564 total yards. That's a bunch. Their quarterback, Mac Jones, was 24 for 32 for the aforementioned 417 yards. Four touchdowns. Najee Harris rushed for 152 yards. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think about a defense that would allow that kind of offensive output? Let me repeat that. What do you think about a defense that would allow that kind of output of offense? Huh? What do you think? Well, those were the Alabama offensive statistics 1 week ago against the best defense in this league, the Georgia defense. Yes, Alabama is that good on offense. We saw what every defense in this conference will see, five already have. So as we go through and talk, let's try to keep some perspective about where Tennessee's defense is and where Tennessee's offense is. Now, let me just give you a little bit of comparison. Yes, I know it's not apples to apples. Do I believe that Alabama probably played better, was a little bit more fired up, so to speak, to play against Georgia? Yes. But bottom line is, the best defense in this league that I've seen, I don't even think it's close as Georgia defense, and Alabama ran roughshod over them 1 week ago. Let me give you just a little comparison. Georgia, 33 first and 10s for Alabama's offense. Yesterday, 30. Ain't good, but it ain't as bad as Georgia. Rushing yards, 147 against Georgia, 107 against us. Passing yards, the same, 417 yards. Offensive points, 41 against Georgia. You know how many offensive points they had yesterday against our defense? The same amount, 41. Mac Jones threw for, well, the total team threw for 587 yesterday. They had another quarterback in there, Georgia 564. Mac Jones was 24 for 32 for 417 yards and four touchdowns against Georgia. He was 25-31, 387, zero touchdowns against Tennessee. And Najee Harris rushed for 152 yards against Georgia at 96 against us. So, again, let's try to keep those things in perspective as we go through. By the way, the score, Alabama 41, Georgia 24. Yesterday, Alabama 48. Tennessee 17. And I say all these things just to mention this, just tell you this, and get you to think about this. Keep things in perspective on some of this. Now, some of the perspective we're going to look at ain't very good. But bottom line is, we played the best offense coming in the country, in my opinion. Yeah, I know maybe there's a team or two that's Alabama offensively is the best offensive team that they got. I had a kid hurt yesterday. That's probably going to hurt him a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the game. Number two started at quarterback, and he played basically the whole ball game. There was a lot of talk last week by many on the possibility, my most, I would say, that talk about it, the possibility, the probability that we would see a change at quarterback at some point, maybe not start the game. Who's going to be playing most of the ball game? Was it going to be Bailey? Was it going to be Shrout? Would Maurer get in the game? A lot of talk about that, and most thought that there probably would be. I would include myself in that group who thought that we certainly might. Possibly Bailey, possibly Maurer, possibly Shrout. Nope. The guy who counts clearly believed and believes that Jarrett Garantano gives this team the best opportunity to win. And you know what? Yesterday, he was right. If you're one of those people who are always looking at the past and are always kind of projecting where we're going in the future, you're probably not going to have a whole lot to say good about number two. And he has certainly been up and down like a yo-yo, to say the least. But yesterday, he was 13 for 24. He had 162 yards. He threw two touchdown passes. He had zero turnovers and zero sacks. Now, if you don't put a name on that person or a number on that person, just put those statistics out there for where this Tennessee is, offense team is offensively, what they want to get done, what the emphasis is, you would say, hey, pretty darn good day and probably a statistical day we could live with and win with in many instances at the University of Tennessee with this football team. Those are the type of numbers that you would expect with this particular team. We're not going to throw the ball around all over the field like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Florida, heck, even Alabama some. That's not what this offense is about. I'll just say this. This kid is tougher than a dadgum $2 steak at Montana Mike's in Miami, Oklahoma. And Montana Mike had some tough $2 steaks, believe me. Now, you're not going to hear another peep out of me concerning the quarterback position. This is going to take care of itself. And the horse that this head football coach has decided to ride, at least into the Arkansas game, is Jarrett Garantano. Why not somebody else, you ask? And let's just think about that a minute. It's easy for me. I do the same thing. How come they're not playing this guy? How come Bailey's not getting in there? You know, we saw Maurer a little bit. Who would have thought after what we've seen the last couple of weeks that the only other quarterback that played yesterday, yeah, granted he played when the game was over, was Maurer. We haven't seen him this year, have we? Trout played some. Bailey played last week. Well, the guy that's making the decision, the head football coach, believes, strongly believes that Jared Garantano gives us the best opportunity to win. Now, listen, you've heard me talk about this many times in the past. I listen to every single one. Well, I probably missed a few, but almost all the press conferences, the pressers after practice, the pressers after a game. I don't listen to them, the pressers after the game until after I do this show, but I go back and listen to them. And I think this head football coach normally tells you a lot about what's going on. But just keep this in mind right now. What he's trying to do right now is keep and hold this team together. Not that he's not being forthright on everything, but when you hear maybe a little praise somewhere and you wonder where's that coming from, that's what his job is right now. His job is not to please you and me and tell us the things that we want to hear. His job is to keep this team together, and I suspect we're going to start hearing some of that. More of that. Keeping this team together. 5 games left in the season. Open date, Arkansas, and then at the end of the year, we'll take a good look at exactly where this program is. I will reiterate this, though. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that this program is getting better. And I do believe that this team is better than it appears right now. It's better than it's playing right now. But the next 5 games, they're going to tell us that. Let's take a look at the offensive stats. It was not a great day offensive stat-wise. If you look at the overall statistics of the game, we scored 16 points. Excuse me, had 16 first and 10s. Pretty good. We had a 139 yard rushing. We had 163 yards passing. We had 302 total yards overall. That was the statistic part of it. Third down conversions, we were 4 for 16, 25%. We were 2 for 4, so on fourth down. So essentially on 16, we picked up 6 of them, if you put the fourth down in play in there also. Overall, not impressive statistics, but let's kind of take a look. Where did we improve yesterday offensively? Did we see better play in the areas that needed to be get better plays in? Let's talk about some of them. We had 3 splash plays yesterday in the passing game. Jalen Hyatt had a 48-yard touchdown pass. He had another 38-yard catch. I will be talking about this young man a little bit later in the show. Josh Palmer had a 27-yard touchdown pass. We threw the ball down the field more and better, much better than we've thrown it all year long. And hopefully we found something there, or our offensive play caller has found something there that we can make plays there. We threw, I don't know, what, 7, 8, 9 deep balls yesterday. They were all good throws, and we had an opportunity on every one of them. That needs to be a part of this offense. Again, more of that a little bit better. A little bit later. We had much better running by our running backs. Eric Gray is turning into an excellent running back. He had 19 carries for 57 yards. 57 yards doesn't sound like much, but he got the thing that we talked a little bit about last week and that Coach Pruitt mentioned this week in his press conference. He got more than the offensive line gave him. He looked like the player that I watched in high school more. Quickness, a little feel for the game. Chandler was 10 for 37. Ty Chandler is a different type of back. He played better also. And we had 1 turnover yesterday only. None from the quarterback position, I might add. Gray had a turnover. Turned into 7 points. Should he have protected the ball a little bit better? Yes, but let me just say this. Through 5 games, we've only had 1 turnover by a running back, and we've had 0 by our offensive wide receivers. That is darn good. So Eric Gray is coming along. Negative. We gave up another defensive score by the opponent, 28-yard fumble return, first possession of the second half. I don't know what happens at halftime. And I'm doing some of this without the benefit of going back and really look at statistics, but I know this, my memory tells me, we do not come out, look at last week against Kentucky. For whatever reason, we do not come out after halftime and play very well. And I don't know why. The Kentucky game, we completely fell apart. Georgia, basically the same thing. And this ball game, we come out, and first offensive play, we give up 28-yard fumble return. Did that beat us? Heck no, it didn't beat us. But something needs to be looked at. We talk about lessons that you look at after every ball game. I'm sure this staff is looking to that. Pass protection yesterday, 100% improved, maybe more than 100% if you can be more than 100%. Didn't have a single sack yesterday in 28 pass calls. Think about that. I would have bet part of my house that if we threw the ball, had 28 pass plays called, which we did, and didn't have a single sack. And you know, it wasn't even close, really. There was only one quarterback hurry yesterday by Alabama. So, again, let's don't overlook the good that happened because we got our butt kicked. 100% improved. Run blocking was better, much better. We were working more as a unit. Did we still have some mistakes? Yes, but defenses have something to do with that. We had a couple of calls into run blitzes that they had on, and that happened some. We had 139 yards on 38 carries. Not great, but good enough. Now, negative, we had 6 3-and-outs, and that's where we got to improve. We had the ball essentially 12 possessions yesterday, 12 offensive possessions. On 6 of them, we were 3 plays and out. Have to improve that. And Alabama is a better defense than what they've shown. You know, everybody goes back to, well, Ole Miss did this against them. Take Ole Miss and throw it in the trash can somewhere. That was one ball game. Alabama's a good defense. They're the second best defense in this league. They're not as good as Georgia, I do not believe. But we got to do better than 6 3-and-outs. We got to keep the ball more than that. Positives, we had a 13-play, 60-yard drive for a field goal. We had a 6-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. And we had a 4-play, 85-yard touchdown drive. Am I looking for some positives to build on? You better believe I am, because that's what coaches do, and that's what this coaching staff and what this team should be doing. Now, the biggest plus, the pass protection, including backs and blitz pickup, was excellent. It had been atrocious in some of the games this year. We looked like we'd never had a blitz pickup period. This is something to build on. We got things we can build on with this team. As I said, 0 sacks and only 1 quarterback hurry and 0 turnovers in the passing game. Something to build on. Plus, I thought the play calling was very good yesterday. We're limited on what we can do with certain players. I'm going to talk about, well, in here in just a second. But play calling, we took multiple shots down the field, 7 or more, didn't count them all. Very encouraging. 3 of them were big plays. So not any critique from yours truly on play calling. I think that Jim Chaney is working with what he had. Very easy to say, why don't we do what so-and-so is doing? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Well, why don't we run the wishbone? Because that's not what we are. We are what we are. Our quarterback that we have and the ones we're recruited and looks like are recruiting are a style of quarterback that's going to run the style of offense we're playing. You may not like what we're playing. You may not like it. I may not like it. That make a difference. That's what we're recruiting to. That's what we're getting better at. That's where we are right now. Now, here's the thing. The next 5 opponents are average at best on defense. If this offensive staff builds on yesterday's performance, we're going to have a chance from an offensive perspective now to win all 5 games from an offensive perspective. If we build on what we did yesterday, if we play as error-free as we can, if we keep turnovers to a low number, again, I'll repeat what I always say, coaches are their own, and head coaches in particular, are their own worst enemy on this. Every time I hear a head football coach talking about a game saying we can't have any turnovers, I start laughing. You're going to have turnovers if you play. But if we keep those low like we did yesterday, if we get the quarterback play like we did yesterday, if our offensive line continues to improve like we did yesterday, all against a very good opponent, then we got a chance to beat all five offensively. I'm going to talk about defensively a little bit later. Now, most impressive. I'll end the church segment with this, maybe carry on a little bit later. Most impressive to me, as I came out of that ball game watching yesterday and looking at offense and defense, from the offensive side of the ball, most impressive for me was the future of number 11, Jalin Hyatt. Let me tell you something, folks. I've been around since 1980. All right, that's my first year coaching Tennessee. I was there with a lot of outstanding wide receivers and have watched a bunch since then. Jalin Hyatt to me, and hopefully others, but Jalin Hyatt, he's the best that I've seen at Tennessee since Perlis Price. I'm not saying he's better, as good, or anything, but this kid's got a future, and we now see it. We got some comers coming on offense, what I call comers, people that are coming on. Gray is coming on. Gray's going to be an excellent back in this offense going forward. He already is a very good back. He reminds me somewhat of Alvin Kamara. Can catch the ball. What's he had so far? 8 or 9, 10 catches this year. Does something with it. His punt catching, and that is something that sometimes is overlooked. Catching a punt is not as easy as some of these excellent punt returners make it look like. I returned punts in this league for 2 years. It's not easy. And I marvel sometimes at just how nonchalantly some of the punt returners in this league, Eric Gray's one of them, just how nonchalantly they catch the ball. Eric Gray's a comer. Hyatt is a comer. Jacob Warren at tight end is starting to get more and more plays, a redshirt freshman. Spraggins played a good bit yesterday. I think the small kid is going to have some of the Eric Gray-type qualities. So we're coming in those areas. Now, a couple of things that concern me watching the game and how we're doing the game. I do not understand why we do not get our playmakers on the field more. I do not understand it. Here's who ought to be on the field as far as I'm concerned. I'm not saying I'm exactly right on this, but just as you look at it. Palmer, Hyatt, Gray, those three need to be out on the field. Probably Johnson. I don't know who the other would be on there. We play too many people. I guess part of the reason is on offense, wide receivers I'm talking about, we play too many people. We need to get our playmakers on the field. Let me hit Hyatt for an example. All right, now I'm going to give him a little slack on Hyatt because of what went on, you know, with the practice and all this stuff. I don't know how much he's missed because of the COVID situation. But you got to be blind not to see the talent that he has, and they're certainly not blind. Why are they not on the field? Let me take two quick little stories. Now, let me do this. Let me take a break. I'm going to come back and tell you two quick little stories about coaches, head football coaches, making the point to keep our players out on the field. And then I'm going to compare offensively what Alabama does and what we do. Good coaches do this. Good coaches, good deep offensive coaches. We used to do this every year, after every ball game on John Major's staff. At some point during the week, let's just take this last week. The offensive staff at some point during the week would take an hour at some point and look at what Alabama's offense did. Is there some things that they do that we could utilize? What are the best teams in the league that are scoring a lot of points and moving the ball? What are they doing that we could utilize? You don't have a whole lot of time to do that when you're getting ready for a game. But, you know, when you do have a whole lot of time of doing it, when you have an open week. And we got an open week. All right, we'll come back, talk a little bit more about the offensive side of the ball, and then we're going to take a look at the defensive side of the ball also, and some of the things that are going on there. Mid 10 Ford. Hey, if you're a truck person, you're probably a mid 10 Ford truck person. Well, yeah, I know you're a Ford truck person, and you're probably a mid 10 Ford truck person. They've been around for well over 50 years. The Boyd family, and it's still family owned and family operated, and they still have the same quality that Bill Boyd instilled in that company, well, over 50 years ago. I've known them. They've been part of this show ever since the first day it was on the air, 26, 27, however many years ago it was. They're outstanding people who do exactly what they tell you they're going to do. They have a parts department that has $1 million in parts. And if you have a truck, now they can work on anything, but they're truck people. If you got a smaller truck like Ford Ranger, like mine, doesn't even have to be a Ford. If you got a heavy duty truck, an F-150 or some of the even heavy duty big ones over that, they can fix it. They'll probably have it fixed. Well, probably have done that day. If they don't have the part, they can get it in, well, at the most, maybe 24 hours. Bottom line is this: anything and everything that needs to be done with a truck, whether it is selling you one, fixing yours, painting it, it is the place. Mid 10 Ford, their service department, is the place where many, many, many dealerships send their trucks. They don't want to mess with them, so they send it to Mid 10 Ford. Mid10trucks.com. Looking for even SUVs, but looking for a truck, need yours worked on, SUVs, the other things they can handle with it, online at mid10trucks.com.
Stover's Liquidation is the South's largest stocking dealer of flooring. Lowest prices anywhere. Why shop at big box stores that lure you in with one or two low-priced flooring choices? Literally choose from hundreds of styles and selections at Stover's Liquidation. All at liquidation prices. Luxury vinyl plank. Stover's Liquidation has tons of selections for just $129 a square foot. Big box selection at $129? None. When it comes to price and selection, nobody beats Stover's Liquidation. See us in Antioch, Cookeville, or Oak Ridge, or online anytime at Stover'sLiquidation.com. Stover's.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
Did you know Medicare has a co-insurance and deductibles and doesn't cover prescription drugs?
And traditional Medicare doesn't provide dental or vision coverage.
Well, that's why I have my Medicare supplement and Part D plan through Farm Bureau Health Plans.
And why I bought their Dental Vision Silver Plan.
Farm Bureau Health Plans has been serving Tennesseans since 1947.
And because they're right here in Columbia, Tennessee, you've definitely got the home field advantage.
Farm Bureau Health has you covered at fbhealthplans.com.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy, President Forklift Systems. Thanks for another incredible year. Business is booming, and we seek exceptional people in Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama. Recent customer feedback said, "It's refreshing to deal with a company of integrity with people you trust. It brightens my day when I call your office. Your response is fast. You're easy to do business with." If that sounds like you, email me your resume to careers@forkliftsystems.com.
Coming up Monday afternoon with Blaine and Mickey.
We kick off the show with Blaine's breakdown of the football weekend.
John Glennon of Broadway Sports talks Steelers and Titans.
Plus, we'll check in with Mike Wilson in Knoxville with the latest on the ball.
Monday afternoon from 1 to 3 on 104.5 The Zone.
I'm going to use a couple of stories here to give you examples of what head coaches do sometimes. when players aren't out on the field. And I really want to highlight this. I've watched this happen over the past few years, going back to the previous head football coach. I do not understand, never have understood, why you try to get so many players out there playing. Yes, it's nice to do. And I know that this head football coach is big on practice. And if you practice well, he tries to get you in the game. That's great. That's great. But you better have your players. You better have your playmakers. You have the people that can win for you out on the field. And I don't think that's one area that I would have a big discussion with if I were on this staff. Let me give you a couple of just a couple of examples of what head coaches do sometimes. My first year at Tennessee with John Majors, 1980, we were just a pretty good football team. Maybe pretty good would be an overstatement. We had one player on offense, Anthony Hancock, great player. Anthony Hancock was one of those players that if he would have been with a good football team, he was a great player anyway. Well, anyway, I'm going to shorten this a little bit, but bottom line is we weren't getting him the ball as much as the head football coach liked. He walked in, this is before the season, he walked in the offensive staff room and sat down and said, listen, I'm going to make this short and sweet. If we don't get Anthony Hancock the ball 12 times in every ball game, we better win it or somebody in this room is going to get fired. Well, I don't know how many times Anthony Hancock got the ball total, but I can tell you this, because we had a grad assistant. He got it 12 times in every ball game. Let me tell you one other one just real quickly. Kippy Brown tells the story about when he was coaching at the Houston Texans. Andre Johnson, great player. Had him off the field, sitting there, standing there, talking to him during the game. The head football coach walks over, says, hey, Kip, how come my all-pro wide receiver's over here talking with you? Kippy said, well, I'm giving him a little break. And he said, well, get his rear end back in the ball game. He can take a break after it. Bottom line is this, you got to have your players on the field. That would be a criticism that I would have. A critique maybe would be a better way of putting it. Of this football team right now. Listen, let me give you just a couple examples on this. And I like to use comparisons for good football teams. Alabama's football team, I noticed this going into the ballgame last year. Alabama, they had three wide receivers that played almost every single play. After five ball games, Smith has 45 catches. Waddle, who got hurt yesterday, the player that replaced him was Bolden. He had six catches yesterday. He hadn't caught a pass all year, so that position has 31, and the Mechie youngster has 21, and Harris has 14. They don't have anybody else that's really caught the ball hardly at all. By comparison, Josh Palmer, our best receiver in five games, has caught 19 passes. Four of those have been for touchdowns. You got to get Palmer the ball. Jalen Hyatt has five catches for one touchdown. Really, he has five catches for two touchdowns if his foot were a little bit slimmer, not quite as wide. You got to get him the ball. Eric Gray has 16 catches and one touchdown. All six of our touchdowns are by three players. Now, I'm all for getting guys in the game, and I don't use names very much. But when I see Tillman or Keaton out there on the field or any other wide receiver other than Palmer and Hyatt and Johnson, we don't have our best out on the field. Small criticism, but get your players on the field. And again, if a program like Alabama, you got to have the way offenses have played now. Jalen Hyatt should not be off that field, period. And if we don't know that by now, then, we don't know it by now, we don't know it. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball. How did we do yesterday? Let's talk about what probably the game plan was going in. I think the game plan going in was, hey, let's limit splash plays. And you know what? We did that yesterday defensively. We really did. Let's make them go the long way. Let's make them drive the football. We had good field position yesterday. Why? Because we didn't turn the ball over. We kicked the ball well. Had an onside kick who gave them the ball, in position. Well, that was the call I probably would have made too. game. We were going to win the game. Let's try to get another touchdown in there. But let's talk about the improvement on defense. Did we improve on defense? Yes, we did improve on defense. Yes, we had 2 sacks. That's an improvement. We had 1 takeaway. That's an improvement. Our first 3 tacklers and 4 of the top 5 tacklers were defensive backs led by Flowers. Let me repeat that. Of our top 5 tacklers yesterday, 4 of them, including the first 3, were defensive backs. It was a tough afternoon, quite frankly, for our best. Number 11, Henry To'oTo'o. Excellent player, going to be an even better player. He had 1 solo tackle and 1 assist. He did not play his usual game. And you know what? That happens sometimes. He overran plays. I think he was trying maybe to make too many plays. I don't know. But he just didn't play well. That happens sometimes. I think Crouch, number 27, is improving. He's getting better. Our problem is that we're still not efficient in pass defense by the linebackers. Now, we're going to continue to get better on that. Really, the only linebacker all year long that I have seen that is really has a kind of the feel, not that he is excellent or even very good, but has the feel is Banks, and he didn't play yesterday. But all 3 of those, and plus Beasley, who I think we're going to start seeing more, maybe in passing situations, Beasley showed some spark yesterday. But all those, they're all sophomores. They're going to keep working with them, keep getting them better. When you do not have pass rush from your front 4 and you're just pretty good at underneath pass protection, where were almost all the completions yesterday? Yeah, they hit a couple outside, but almost all the completions, like they've been all year long so far, people are going to attack us over the middle. They're easier throws, and that's where Alabama attacked us. Well, that's where everybody's attacked us. Georgia attacked us. That's where everybody else is going to attack. So we're going to have to get better there. And while our pass rush was better yesterday, we're never going to be a really good pass rush team with the front 4. We just don't have those type of players up there. Defensive scheme yesterday, the plan very clearly was let's take away the splash plays, which we did. Let's make Alabama go the long way. The only splash play in the game, as a matter of fact, from Alabama came on the 45-yard pass right down to the 1 or 2 yard line. I mentioned, and you know the thing about this, and this is what I know frustrates Coach Pruitt, Coach Ansley. Used to frustrate me when I was the secondary coach. It probably frustrated the defensive back coach, my defensive back coach, when I played in the secondary. But we had not only a perfect call on, we had a double covered on him. It was perfect position by both defensive backs. And Mechie caught the ball. But the problem was this. It was poor technique by number 0. If you go back and look at that play, defensive backs are taught to catch the ball at its highest point and to drive your hands through the ball, not accept the ball like a wide receiver does. He had poor technique. At the very least, it would have been knocked down, and it probably would have been intercepted. But for this discussion, we did a good job of taking away the splash plays. Listen, Alabama is too good on offense. They execute too well. And as noted, I think they're the best offense in the conference. There's no question they're the best offense in the conference. They may be the best offense in the whole country. We played better. Our alignment yesterday was better. Our contain on the outside yesterday was better. Our sideline substitution was better. All 3 of those things have been not very good at times during the season. That was better. Now, it still looks bad when the ball snapped and we got players running out on the field. That happened yesterday. Offsides penalty. That hadn't been fixed. And quite frankly, I don't really understand that. That those players are sent in from the sideline. If the offense is down on the goal line or anywhere near away from the bench and they do not substitute, you cannot get players in the game. Yes, you want to get your bigger linemen in there. You can't get them in there because they're not going to let you get them in there. And we hadn't learned that lesson from a defensive staff yet. You got a play caller, defense coordinator, and you got the head coach who are running it right there. That's on them. It ain't on anybody else. It's not on the players. Now, that got better. All that got better. But we did the little things better yesterday. We did them a good bit better yesterday. Let's kind of take a look at just some of the defensive stats coming out of yesterday. Alabama had 30 first and 10s. Well, that's probably what they're averaging. On a good day, maybe we'd hold them to 25. They had 170 rushing yards. They didn't really hurt us that much in the rushing game. We are playing the running game better. That's positive. They ran it 40 times. They had 417 yards passing. As I mentioned, that's the same amount they had against the vaunted Georgia defense. They were 28 for 36. We didn't have a pick. Well, they didn't have a pick either, an interception. They didn't throw a passing touchdown yesterday. That's improvement, right? Here's the way I look at it. Total offense, 587 yards. That's a bunch. That's about what that's less than what they're averaging. We had 302. We had a fumble that we got. Nice strip. Got the ball back on that. Penalties. We had 8 for 33, and, you know, when you 8 for 30, 33 yards, not much in penalties, 8 is. We were better in those areas. We looked better, and we got better in those areas. Third down conversions, they were, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, they were 7 for 12, a little over 50%. Of course, their drives, they scored way too many times off drives. But, again, that's who they are, and they're very good on that. We're going to take a look at the drive chart when we come back. So let me just kind of again, just hit again some of the highlights yesterday. Did we get better off defensively yesterday? Might have said offense. Did we get better defensively yesterday? Yes, I believe we did. Our problem, main problem, lack of the ability to pass rush with the front four. And folks, I don't care. We had a new defensive line coach this week. I would bet probably the highest paid defensive line coach in the country. If you don't know who that is, well, then I'm sorry. You probably look it up. But we are what we are up there. We're not getting real good play up there. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to mention any of them by names, but some of the guys that should be really quality players, not great players, but quality players, not playing anywhere near their ability. I suspect that one of the reasons why Coach Pruitt made a change in the defensive line coach was because we were not getting the ability out of those players that we should get. Whatever your ability is, you know, if you can run a 5-flat 40, then run a 5-flat 40. Don't run a 5-2. All right. If you can make plays off the edge, make plays off the edge. All right, let's get a break out of the way here. We're going to come back and take a look at a few other things, kind of give you some ideas on probably where we're headed on this thing and probably what's going to look like on that. American Home Design. I just had the new rain soft water softener put into my home this past week and only had a few days really to work with it, but boy, how impressed I was with the folks that Don Bruce sent out here to put it in. It's a big deal. If you got some hard water, maybe it's something you should look like. I'll be talking about more about that in future shows because I'll have the ability then to tell you, well, how it's worked in my home. But if you're looking for anything to help refurbish your home, maybe you've had it a while, a little older, like mine was, you need your windows replaced, you need your doors replaced, patio and entry doors, maybe you need some bathroom work done, showers and all those types of things, anything, almost anything other or anything that you need done to refurbish your home. American Home Design has been doing it for over 40 years. They got 100% workmanship guarantee as long as you own your home. Again, I've had all of those things done to my home, and I can tell you, been extremely happy with their quality people that do exactly what they say they're going to do. That's what they've done with me. That's why they've been in business for 40 years. Go online and check them out at AmericanHomeDesign.com.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
Sports fans, it's football time in Tennessee. Though times are uncertain, one thing is for sure. Interest rates are low and our local real estate market is steady and thriving. So if you're considering buying or selling a home, you need an experienced agent to guide you through the process. That's why Lucy Baldorf is here for you. She's a pro who knows her business and her Vols. Make Lucy Baldorf at Frederick and Clark Realty your go-to fan for all things real estate. Contact Lucy at iSellNashvilleRealEstate.com.
Cheer on your favorite team to victory with the Puckett's To Go Pack. Nothing pairs better with football than Cherrywood Smoked Barbecue and savory Southern food. Customize your game day spread with two meats, two family-style sides, and bread. Plus add-ons like Puckett's Famous Sweet Tea and Cobbler of the Day. Conveniently order online at PuckettsGRO.com/To Go Packs or call your nearest Puckett's location. Home gating never tasted so good.
This is your home for the first place Titans.
Minshew pops, throws, ball batted in the air. Intercepted! Intercepted! Yes. Yes. Harold Landry, the man who batted it. Big Jeff!
104.5 The Zone.
Take a look at some of the personnel on defense and what we are starting to see now. I thought Flowers, McCullough, and Taylor, in particular, in the defensive secondary, they've really becoming very good players. Taylor, I think, is the best player in the secondary. If you look at his aggressiveness, the way he plays the run, he is a good, very good man cover guy. I really like the way he's playing. McCullough is becoming a physical, he's always been a physical player. He's getting better and better at recognizing and seeing things and being around the ball. He was the third leading tackler yesterday from the safety position. And Flowers yesterday had eight solo tackles and two assists. Now, you don't want your secondary making that many plays, but quite frankly, our linebackers didn't make many plays yesterday for whatever reason. And you know what? Sometimes that happens. That's why you call it a defensive team. You got to have somebody making up what Coach Pruitt calls erasers. Well, McCullough and Flowers back at the safety positions are becoming erasers. We're not having many long runs now. And when they are, they're primarily through broken tackles, you know, big backs breaking tackles. So we've improved greatly in that area. I thought some young guys, and I really made a point to go back and look and watch. I thought McDonald, the young nickelback, star back, probably safety. I think he's played more safety now. I thought he was out for the season. He is not. But I tell you, in the few plays that I've watched him play in the last couple of ball games, I think Georgia was the first game he played in. He might have played another I missed. This kid's a comer. He's going to be an excellent player at Tennessee. Slaughter has all the quality. We saw him early. He wasn't ready the first few games of the year to start at the star when Schamberger was out the nickel position. Slaughter is a quality player. Key Lawrence got some play work at cornerback yesterday. Has the opportunity to be a big-time football player. We've seen Simmons. All these are freshmen, and they're barren. So we're getting better in those areas. And what I try to look at is where we are, but also where we're going to some of the younger guys on that. I don't know all the reasons. You know, I kind of go back and forth on this, just like with Hyatt. You know, it's hard for me to understand how any coach, and I'm not saying this negatively, and I'll explain it as we go through this, but how any coach can watch a player like that and not have him out on the field. Now, having said that, I don't know all of the behind-the-scenes things. As John Chavis says on this show very often, I don't know the what you're having to cover up for. Maybe he's missed a lot of practice time, and maybe he does not know exactly what to do. Maybe he's not a very good blocker. I don't know. But the bottom line is, I trust that T. Martin's going to get him ready to play. There's a reason why he's not playing. Hell, they ain't blind. This kid was a high recruit coming in. But we're going to see him playing more. That's why these next five games are so important on exactly where this program is right now. I can't tell you 100% where this program is right now. I think it's headed in the right direction. You know, and I know this is difficult. It's difficult for me sometimes to watch and say, why aren't we better in these areas? Well, there's reasons why. This league is a tough league. We've beaten two teams that have, you know, Missouri, a little bit better team than we thought right now, right? And the big thing is that going forward is, if you look at what going forward in the last segment here, I'm going to talk about that. There's not a team left on this schedule that we can't beat. And there's probably not one that can't beat us. I don't think the team here in Nashville can, but they might. Let me just talk a little bit more. If end up on defense, I'm going to take a break. My last break, come back, and I'm going to hit those last things I want to talk about. How's this team win? If you had to tell somebody this is what this team must do to win, it's pretty evident what the roadmap is. We must have good field position. Listen, that's a talking point. You're probably saying, hey, that's every coach said that. Well, they do, but this team. We got to keep that team that we're playing on the other end of the field, because we're not good enough right now, although we've done a much, much better job of it, of getting off field if we give them the ball on our end of the field. We did that yesterday. Alabama had five touchdown drives. They went 70 yards, 76 yards, 75 yards, 75 yards, and 80 yards. Listen, you can't get much better field position than that. But 70, 76, 75, 75, and 80. And we were playing pretty good defense. They're just that good. They went 23 yards after an onside kick. We made them kick the field goal. Another good job of the defense. And then they had another 60-yard drive where they got a defense on that. So bottom line is, it's what Coach Britt talks about all the time. We got to get more stops, and we got to get off the field. And we are not doing that good enough right now defensively. We had the same problems, as I mentioned, in the middle field on the passing game. I don't know what you do about that. I really don't. But we better find something to do with it. Our coverages are our coverages. The people that we got playing, they're not going away. We're going to have the same linebackers who are quality players, young but quality players. But that's going to be an area everybody is going to attack until we get better. Everybody sees the same tape that we see. All right, let me get this last break in, and a couple of key thoughts about the program when we come back from this. Double Dogs Restaurant. Well, Dan Davis, good buddy, good Tennessee man, and, well, more importantly, at least in this discussion, he has great restaurants. He got three or four different ones, but Double Dogs is my go-to. It's a sports bar, yes, but it's also a family sports bar. You can take your family in there. I have 30-plus TVs, anything you want to watch, any sporting event on. If they don't have none, they'll get it on for you. They got great food, and I mean great food. They got two locations here in Nashville, one down in Hillsborough Village. That's the one that I go to because it's the closest. They have one over on Charlotte. If you live over in East Tennessee, Charlotte Pike, not too far from downtown. Quality food, specialties like mac and cheese, their hot dog dishes, great burgers, and their salads and other things, steaks. Just tremendous food. They've been in business for many, many, many years. Double Dogs Restaurant. Give them a try if you haven't been there, and you check out all their locations. They're up in Knoxville, up in Bowling Green, other areas at doubledog.biz.
And now, A moment of silence to remember our dear friend.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
Life can be uncomfortable. Your home doesn't have to be. With air conditioners, furnaces, and heat pumps installed by a Ring Pro partner, you can feel comfortable even when you can't be comfortable.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Trust the expert installation and service of your local Ring Pro partner. Visit RingProPartnersTN.com to find one near you.
Looking for a wow experience in upscale dining? Welcome to Stony River Steakhouse and Grill. You know us for our certified Angus beef brand steaks, but we're much more. Stony River is a neighborhood restaurant featuring fresh seafood entrees and made from scratch cuisine, complemented by handcrafted cocktails and award-winning wine list. All this to savor in a warm, rich ambiance. Stony River Steakhouse and Grill on West End in Nashville and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Back to school deals at Walker Chevrolet. A new Tahoe four-wheel drive, $46,521. Silverado, $31,983. Or lease a new Bolt EV Premier, $299 with $599 at signing. Walker Chevrolet off I-65, exit 65 in Franklin, or walkerchevrolet.com.
Stock number LR237433. Price includes financing with Jim Financial and trading 2006 or newer qualified trade-in. Stock number L4111119. Must have qualifying Costco membership. Must have current lease. Must qualify for foreman price. Stock number LZ319577 does not include tax, title, or government fees.
At Wilson Bank and Trust, our game plan in the community includes supporting our local schools on the gridiron and in the classroom. When it comes to buying or improving your home, we can help your family with those game plans too. From personal loans to mortgages, our lending experts are with you every step of the way. Let us help you get your financial game plan together at wilsonbank.com or any of our 28 Middle Tennessee locations. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Ryan Tannehill, Christian Fulton, and Corey Davis play here on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
All right, where are we? Well, we got an open week coming up. What's the goal? You know what it is as well as I do. Number one, get healthy, but more importantly, get better. Refine what we're doing. We have a really good idea right now, both offensively and defensively. Five games in, we know what we're capable of, what we're not capable of. We know what players can help us win and what can't, and get them out on the field. I think we will see that. We'll see when we come back from Arkansas. Got a winnable ball game, but a team that's going to be, well, they play good, solid ball. Got an open week. Then we have Arkansas. Then we have Texas A&M. Then we have Auburn. Then we have Vandy, then we have Florida. Again, all winnable football games. None of them great shakes. We'll see how good Florida is good offensively. If they have a difficult time slowing anybody down. But bottom line is, got to get better this week. I believe this staff will. That's what this head football coach has to do. That's his job. He got to do his job like every player does over there. Again, it's very, very easy and simple to look at what this team needs to do to win. They know that better than we do. We'll see what's going to happen when Arkansas gets there. Maybe an open week. Maybe we're going to see some moves and some changes in some areas. Maybe we're going to see a little different style of offense. Maybe. You know, we're pretty locked in on what we do offensively. That's what we do. You know, there's not a right way or a wrong way. That's what we do. We just simply need to do it better. And we got to start making some plays on defense. We've been in position. We've had the calls to do it. We just need players to go make plays. Thanks for being part of the show. Ryan Albadese for producing. And we will see you next Sunday after an open week for Big Orange Sunday.